Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. As the government shutdown drags on, Democrats are continuing to push for an extension of health care subsidies. Republicans saying that is not a part of this resolution. ABC's Jay O'Brien's on Capitol Hill.
Republicans have been saying over and over and over again, they're not going to negotiate with Democrats while the government is actively shut down. And Democrats are holding firm, essentially trying to get Republicans to blink and vice versa.
Warnings about slowdowns at places like airports where air traffic controllers and TSA agents are working without getting paid. This is the two-year anniversary of the October 7th Hamas attacks. Talks continue in Egypt on a possible ceasefire. Hundreds of National Guard troops from Texas arriving in Illinois, with the Trump administration looking to deploy them in Chicago, state and city filing a lawsuit. CDC is out with its recommendations for COVID vaccines, saying it's up to you whether to get the shot or not. Some say the change is not good for America's health. This is ABC News.
You're listening to 107.5 WLAK, Amory's home for Matinee on Air weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Even though she said no to performing at the Super Bowl halftime show, Taylor Swift is on top again as her new album, The Life of a Showgirl, dropped on October 3rd and went right to number one. If that weren't enough, Swift also has the number one movie in America with her 89-minute video celebrating the release of her new album called Taylor Swift, The Official Release Party of a Showgirl. Saturday Night Live season 51 kicked off this past weekend and pulled no punches in going after the president after Trump's stunt last week in front of over 800 military higher-ups, which included a lecture about facial hair and maintaining a reasonable weight. During the skit, James Austin Johnson, who played Donald Trump, told those in the sketch not to go too far or they would face consequences. They went pretty far. It's worth a Google. When Entertainment Weekly asked the White House for a statement, spokeswoman Abigail Jackson said she had more entertaining things to do, like watching paint dry, or maybe something even less exciting, like a president's speech to military generals. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Brewers roll past the Cubs. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers with a 7-3 victory over the Cubs in their best of five playoff series. The Cubs have now lost two in a row. Manager Craig Counsell.
You know, in the first two games, we have just not, you know, produced enough pressure on them. And it's, you know, that's going to add up to a lot of zeros.
Game three tomorrow afternoon, just after 4 o'clock at Wrigley Field. Brewers manager Pat Murphy asked if Quinn Priester will be on the mound.
Do you know what your plans are for game three starting pitcher?
Game three will be Priester.
NBA, the Bucks beat the Heat 103-93 in preseason play. The Packers held practice and wide receiver Christian Watson out there since that ACL injury last January. Does it feel good to be back?
100%. I got to knock a little bit of rust off. Obviously, it's been a while since I've been able to, you know, go out there and play football, but from just, you know, confidence and just running and everything, it felt really good.
That's Christian Watson with Sports on Mike Clemens.
From Eau Claire to Green Bay.
Oh my goodness, a powerful run to the house.
And Milwaukee to Madison.
Under duress, and it's a safety.
The tradition of Badger football lives here.
Touchdown, Wisconsin.
Join us Saturday. It's the Badgers and Hawkeyes at Camp Randall. Our coverage begins at 4.
Now we'll get rolling.
On your home for Wisconsin football.
Looking pressured and sacked.
The Badger Sports Network from Learfield.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Wisconsin farmers, how are they faring? The fabulous farm babe Pam Yonke will join us in hour number two. Don't miss it.
Matinair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
You're listening to 107.5 WLAK, Amory's home for the Maggie Dawn Show, Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Borbins, heading into a stretch of some actual fall weather. A lot of sunshine for today, comfortable with highs in the mid-60s. Clear tonight and cold, lows in the lower 30s with some widespread frost developing late. On Wednesday, lots of sunshine again with a high of 63. Right now, it's 40 degrees.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Actor, writer, and my son, Joe Schwabe. Do you have a favorite one-hit wonder song, Joe?
I don't know. That's not great radio.
30
I'm
seconds.
Giving you right
what,
now. But,
what about What Does the Fox Say? We grew up kind of in the same era, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, What Does the Fox Say? Or Gundam Style?
Oh, those are terrible
That's
songs.
Another one. Oh, whatever.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, comedian Jim Flanagan joins to talk a Wisconsin date. Then a mystery guest drops by. Let's light it up Tuesday style.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Even the farm department feeling some of the effects of the federal government shutdown. Welcome to a Tuesday morning, everybody. I am the fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke. This is the Midwest Farm Report. I was looking around this morning trying to find our weekly crop progress report, and guess what? It's not there. U.S. Department of Agriculture would be generating that information, but they are on the sidelines. That's all right. We'll take your information on what's happening in farm fields. Our talk text line is open, 877-301-FARM. That's 877-301-3276. How about you folks in the Northwoods? Did you see any frost overnight? How about rainfall reports? Boy, there wasn't much in my neighborhood, but maybe yours is a little bit better. Go ahead and let me know about that. How's the harvest coming along? Soybeans, I hear, are very, very dry. Have you started on the corn yet? Oh, we've got all kinds of things we can exchange on that talk text line. Take advantage. 877-301-FARM. Now, the weather service is still up and running despite the government shutdown. And what they're telling me is today we'll see more sunshine than we did yesterday. Not a big improvement in temperatures. Daytime highs today around 66 with a little bit of a breeze out of the north, about 5 to 10 miles an hour. Clear tonight, down to 38. Tomorrow, sunny and 61. Thursday, sunny and 65. Friday, sunny and 68 degrees. Stumacher Ag Meteorologist on the way with our weather details. Just around the corner, the Agriculture Road Improvement Program will live to see another day. But what about the projects that have already been granted money? Stephanie Hoff gives us an update on how our rural infrastructure projects are doing. That's on the way next.
At Channel, we always show up for our farmers.
Is that tar spot or rust?
Incoming!
Definitely rust.
Rick? How did you?
Dropping in to check on your crop, Bill. Let's call your agronomist before that rust can hurt your yield.
That sounds great, but when did you learn to skydive?
Self-taught, Bill. Kind of a prodigy.
From personalized insights to year-round support, Channel Seed Pros always show up. Visit channel.com to learn more. Channel, all in, all season. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
Farmers deal with a lot, including long days, stress, and fatigue. This is your reminder to take breaks, stretch, have a snack, and hydrate your body. Avoid farm accidents by keeping yourself healthy. Visit ruralmutual.com to learn how Rural Mutual supports Wisconsin farmers and prioritize safety on the farm.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
We want welfare! We want welfare!
There's a full house in the stands tonight, and it sounds like they're demanding higher milk fat and lower feed costs.
These fans know that growing Pioneer brand Plenish high oleic soybeans for dairy rations can help producers increase milk fat production without increasing feed costs.
For dairy farmers, it's Plenish soybeans for the winning return on investment.
Plant the 100th season of Pioneer. Visit pioneer.com/feedplenish.
The first round of the Agricultural Roads Improvement Program grants is open. I'm Stephanie Hoff from the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison. ARIP opened on Monday, and with $150 million secured in the state budget, it's meant to keep Wisconsin's farm roads strong for producers and ag industries across the state. Joel Nilsastoon serves as the Assistant Deputy Secretary at the Department of Transportation. I asked him, whose cage do we need to rattle if we see an agricultural road that needs fixing and could use this grant?
We encourage prospective applicants to talk to their town administrators or officials, talk to local agriculture or forestry product producers about the needs that you have. You know, what are the needed road improvements within the community that, you know, currently have a posted weight limit on them and don't allow for the transport of full loads of agricultural goods? It's local towns and governments, municipalities that can apply for it. And we want to be able to get the funding out where it's needed the most.
As you heard Joel say, posted roads are the priority. They must be routes that serve agricultural producers and currently face weight limits or Class B restrictions due to structural issues. Projects can qualify for funding if they improve a small bridge or culvert on a local road, one that is not covered by a federal bridge program. And after repairs, these roads must be maintained by a local government. I asked Joel to walk us back to when this program first started in 2023 and the sheer demand for this type of funding that led the governor to include another $150 million in the latest state budget.
Demand was certainly tremendous. From 24 to 25, the first year of the program, WSDOT received 299 different applications. And those applications, if you added them all up, would have been $507 million in project costs. It's an incredible response, and it highlights the undeniable statewide demand and the interest in this program. The word is out now on this program has been very successful, it's very needed, and WSDOT anticipates for the second round that's only going to increase with more awareness of the ARIP program.
I saw that $30 million of the package is set aside specifically for bridges and culvert repair. Is that new?
That is new, Stephanie. We've spent the last 2 years identifying and inspecting these small bridges. They're structures that are under 20 feet. They don't meet the federal definition of a bridge. And we've been out inspecting them and finding that a lot of these structures really need repair. And so $30 million of that $150 million is specifically targeted for deteriorating small bridges and culverts really throughout the state. And we're going to be releasing more information on this initiative later this year.
What is the turnaround time typically for a new road after the township or municipality receives an ARIP grant?
There are a lot of factors that go into how long it takes to deliver these projects. You know, from project design through construction, projects can take, you know, several months or more to complete. From the 2024 and 2025 cycle, two projects of the 91 awards have been completed. And while, you know, two or three years may sound slow, we certainly want to see these projects up and benefiting the community as soon as possible. We're still talking road construction here. And when I look at larger projects, those often take, you know, 8, 9, 10 years to design, plan, and complete. So I really give a lot of credit to local government and those producers who are working on these applications to be able to deliver them in such a short time frame.
Well, those two projects, for example, do you have the success story that you can share with us on what this project has meant for these communities?
We've had a lot of these feedback on this. It's been really well received, and I've been out and fortunate enough to visit some of these communities who have received awards with Governor Evers. We hear from farmers, we hear from timber producers or local officials about just how meaningful these projects can be. It can mean getting bedding, fertilizer, or seed to the farm during spring thaw. And, you know, that's when the inputs are needed. Unfortunately, it's also when our roads are the most vulnerable, and oftentimes that weight limit is in place. So, you know, these awards are, these ARIP projects are going to mean that, you know, seed can get to the field in the spring, milk can continue to get to market, forest products can come off the forest in with full loads. So, you know, the name of the game is to be more efficient, and ARIP is really helping Wisconsin's farmers and timber producers do that.
What's the typical cost of an ARIP project?
Sure. When we look at the 91 approved awards, the average cost, and this varies greatly, depending on what type of project it is, whether it's a structure involved and how long, you know, how much pavement is being replaced. But the average cost is just over $1.8 million. And the range is from $200,000 for a project all the way up to $5 million. And again, that varies based on the road condition, the mileage, and if there's a structure involved.
If Wisconsin's making this type of investment, have we seen a return? Maybe it's an anecdotal return on investment for now, or maybe you do have numbers on what this has meant for the agriculture sector and rural Wisconsin as a whole.
We certainly hear, Stephanie, from in the applications, one of the big sections of the application is, what is this going to mean to your operation? What's this going to mean to your community? You know, what's it going to help you do? And there are just lots of examples of what that means for people, whether that means, you know, a group of, you know, with the dairy is going to be able to get, you know, full loads of milk off the farm and to the plant on a regular basis year round. That certainly makes a difference. Getting full loads of timber off when, you know, before they might have been limited by weight limits. All of these things play a role. And I don't have a number in front of me that talks about, you know, how much, you know, that quantifies that, but I can tell you at every visit that I've been at to and hearing from local officials and from farmers about what it means to them, it's really coming to make a big difference in their community.
Joel Nilsestoon, along with us, the Assistant Deputy Secretary at the Department of Transportation. The first cycle of the Agricultural Road Improvement Program is $50 million in grants. The applications are due December 15th. When that selection process is through, the second cycle will be announced for the rest of the money. Joel tells me this gives applicants an opportunity, if they did not get selected the first time, to fine-tune that application and carry it forward into the next cycle. You can find all the information at wisconsindot.gov. From the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
What weather is in store for the Midwest today? Stay tuned as ag meteorologist Stu Muck gives you the latest forecast in just moments, right here on the Midwest Farm Report.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
It's the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Berrio. Concerned residents in the town of Stella near Rhinelander packed their town hall to demand answers from the EPA and DNR about PFAS contamination. The toxic forever chemicals have been found at high levels in drinking water and waterways across the area. The DNR says that contamination came from industrial sludge spread on farm fields by two nearby paper companies. Wisconsin's coastal communities are getting more money to help improve and protect shorelines. In celebration of Coastal Awareness Month, the Wisconsin Department of Administration is handing out $1.3 million in Wisconsin Coastal Management Program grants to 35 communities across our state. Right now on the Defender podcast, the amazing story of one Wisconsin food that was banned, burned, disappeared from our plates, and the comeback that's being helped along by solar farms. Listen at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
You want to feel important. You want to be a part of something bigger, something that matters and can help change things. You want to feel like you belong. We know. We felt that way too. And that's why we did something about it. We aren't just Army National Guard soldiers. We are normal people just like you. And together, we can make a difference. Take on your legacy. Visit NationalGuard.com to find out more.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Are you Sally Flores, Organizing Director for the Wisconsin Fair Maps Coalition?
So, you're okay with undermining the will of the voter? Great. Just, do you see how terrible that sounds? And when I translate gerrymandering to Spanish, it just means manipulating election results. That's exactly what gerrymandering is, but in Spanish, the wow effect, oh my God, even in the U.S., manipulates election results. And I was like, yes. And they have a fancy word for it. They've covered it up with almost unimaginable word.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You're listening to Lake Air WLAK, Amory's home for Matinee on Air.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Homeless veterans are facing a crisis in Chippewa Falls, and Brittany Carlone from Wisconsin Watch will be here to tell us a solution on the horizon and the Brewers results and more. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4. This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
That have been awash in that celebration, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, it is that time. We had a couple of them nearby here last weekend, and there's a lot of decorations.
Yes.
I've got a few more for you. My friend John near Armstrong, 0.2 inch, and Milwaukee at the airport says a 0.5 inch.
Wow.
We've seen only 1600s, though, but there's been some rain.
All right, but now it's kind of behind us. That's it for a little while, isn't it?
Yeah, it's slipping away. Fire southeast Wisconsin, Racine, Kenosha may see a little sprinkle yet down to Rockford, Illinois, certainly this morning. But we're going to dry it out some today. Looking ahead is where we have to start talking about some cold air tonight into early tomorrow morning. Frost advisories, call it south central Wisconsin, Sparta, Toma, the Dells, I mean, Sauk, Columbia County, up into Juneau and Adams, and right up into Washera, Watoma, near Appleton, Oshkosh as well. The frost advisory tonight. Stevens Point and Black River Falls and north, there's a freeze warning for tonight. It's going to get colder. Northern Wisconsin could very well be dropping down to 28 or so, calling that a killing freeze quite likely tonight. As we do dry out, sunshine will break out a bit more today. Skies will stay a lot more clear than overnight and into Wednesday. There could be a repeat of some of that frostiness in the north Wednesday night, early Thursday, maybe some fog in central Wisconsin with that. But the temperatures do cool off today and tonight, staying coolest for Wednesday. We turn those temps around, warming up a bit on toward Thursday, Friday. A small rain chance Thursday night may edge in with a weak front out of the northwest. And otherwise, I'd expect a little warmer weather for the weekend. Certainly sounding like we get back to much more comfortable conditions, even though the cool off here around midweek isn't too drastic. Right around normal temps, in fact, expected maybe a degree or two below for Wednesday. That's our cool day, and it turns around right after that. Really not too bad of an almost mid-October pattern, but it is going to be a little bit frosty. I know there's going to be a lot of discussion about that, especially tomorrow morning and the day or so after that, as what may have been frozen out in our yards and fields. I'll have our forecast details right after this.
Farmers are already starting to watch yield monitors for 2025, thinking about 2026. Helena Agri wants to have that conversation about 2026 with you today. Steve Bailey is the branch manager in Monroe for Helena Agri.
Seed selling is in full swing here. Our best offer for discounts, early pays, volumes, and that to help these guys if they know they're going to stick with a specific variety hybrid or seed company with us. I would advise guys to get in, talk to your sales rep, and lock those in. It also gives you the opportunity to most likely get the seed size you want that fits your planter the best. And the early stuff that comes in usually is the best germ. So that allows us to know exactly what we need in our shed for our growers, and we can get that in early. Whether it's seed, fertilizer, getting that stuff buttoned up would be something I would advise you to do.
Sage advice from Steve Bailey, branch manager in Monroe for Helena Agri. Find a location near you or take a look at their product lineup. HelenaAgri.com.
Dairy pumps that were designed more than 50 years ago do not meet today's large dairy farm requirements. Bopeller pumps by McFinn Technologies were born and patented this century with a unique and innovative design that ensures gentle, low shear pumping along with efficient, high capacity, and long seal life. Bopeller pumps for all your applications will ensure your dairy is operating with 21st century technology. Bopeller is American innovation. Contact your dealer today.
We want milk fat. We want milk fat.
There's a full house in the stands tonight, and it sounds like they're demanding higher milk fat and lower feed costs.
These fans know that growing Pioneer brand Plenish high oleic soybeans for dairy rations can help producers increase milk fat production without increasing feed costs.
For dairy farmers, it's Plenish soybeans for the winning return on investment.
Plant the 100th season of Pioneer. Visit pioneer.com/feedplenish.
All right, Stu, give me that forecast, buddy.
All right, today's a nice day, some morning clouds, but the sun will break out again, and I expect in the north, low 60s, maybe a mid or even upper 60 in southern Wisconsin, 67, maybe a 68 with a north breeze 5 to 10. Tonight, that frost advisory and the freeze warning further north in the state, clear skies and cool, mid-30s south. Very low 30s or upper 20s in northern Wisconsin, a very light north breeze. After some of that frosty start, more sunshine again Wednesday. Upper 50s and low 60s, the best we'll see with a northeast breeze. And there could be some of that frost again Wednesday night, some fog in central Wisconsin Wednesday night, Thursday morning. Back to sunshine, temps start climbing up, Pam. Low and mid 60s on Thursday with a south breeze, and in the mid and upper 60s by Friday, and maybe above that, but a slight rain chance Thursday night.
Well, that's all right. This is today is going to be beautiful. I'm pretty confident people will enjoy this, huh?
Oh, a beautiful day. Things still drying down, even though that rain added a little moisture. It wasn't too much.
Yeah,
Right. We're still moving.
Yeah, and I suppose, what, a sheet over the mums tonight then?
Yeah, cover them up, that cherry tomato that won't stop. Cover it up, give it a break.
All right, man, we'll catch up with you tomorrow, see what we got.
All right, see ya.
Stumach, ag meteorologist with the weather details you're looking for. The Talk text line taking your updates as well. 877-301-FARM. That's 877-301-3276. Chime in.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK. Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
You're listening to the Midwest Farm Report on the Civic Media Radio Network. We now take you to a recent episode of Matt and Air on Air, where Civic Media News Director Shelley Pittman joins.
Earlier, we were talking about possible funding cuts to the Wisconsin library system due to the big bill for billionaires. And Shelley, you wanted to take a moment to talk about the libraries.
The IMLS, the Institute for Museum and Library Science, is another one of those agencies that doesn't get a lot of attention until it's on the chopping block. So the IMLS program funds sort of new, sometimes experimental programs for libraries to use. The IMLS also funds the statewide interlibrary loan program. So this is how rural libraries are most likely to be affected, is because this is what makes your interlibrary loan possible. This is what allows you to get, but you know, if you're in a small library, and I grew up in a sort of rural library, this is what allows you to get books from bigger institutions. And sometimes that might take a little bit. And I think I've only ever had like two requests not be able to be filled because I was asking for some really detailed out there stuff.
Yeah.
Eventually it comes. And so this is how rural libraries are affected. But the IMLS also gives out specific grant funding to different institutions. And keep in mind, it's for library science and for museums. Mm-hmm. So last year, the IMLS distributed a good chunk of money to a good number of kind of programs in Wisconsin. So the Ho-Chunk got $142,000. The Oneida Nation got $86,000. I have other numbers here. The Wisconsin Historical Society got $177,000. The Door County Historical Society got $20,000.
And I saw a comment come in the live stream from Jenny. Says, I support and look to libraries as a steward of history, at learning and free thinking. The rare books room at the MPL Central in downtown Milwaukee, and free events to learn new professional skills via workshops. And here's what really kicks me in the teeth and makes me feel like sick about it, and it's something you just mentioned too. Also, local libraries are often the only source of free internet and computer services that many communities, especially rural ones, have access to. And that's something that we seem to always come back to, is these cuts that are coming from the federal government are going to hurt the rural areas a lot. You know, we're talking about hospital closures, talk about libraries. So that's something to always keep in mind. So I appreciate you bringing that to light, especially your experience about growing up in libraries, essentially. That's very, very wonderful. And thank you for the information on that as well.
To subscribe and find all of Civic Media's podcast library, head over to civicmedia.us/shows.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. As the government shutdown drags on, Democrats are continuing to push for an extension of health care subsidies. Republicans saying that is not a part of this resolution. ABC's Jay O'Brien's on Capitol Hill.
Republicans have been saying over and over and over again, they're not going to negotiate with Democrats while the government is actively shut down. And Democrats are holding firm, essentially trying to get Republicans to blink, and vice versa.
Warnings about slowdowns at places like airports, where air traffic controllers and TSA agents are working without getting paid. This is the two-year anniversary of the October 7th Hamas attacks. Talks continue in Egypt on a possible ceasefire. Hundreds of National Guard troops from Texas arriving in Illinois, with the Trump administration looking to deploy them in Chicago, state and city filing a lawsuit. CDC is out with its recommendations for COVID vaccines, saying it's up to you whether to get the shot or not. Some say the change is not good for America's health. This is ABC News.
The Brewers roll past the Cubs. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers with a 7-3 victory over the Cubs in their best of five playoff series. The Cubs have now lost two in a row. Manager Craig Counsell.
You know, in the first two games, we have just not, you know, produced enough pressure on them. And it's, you know, that's going to add up to a lot of zeros.
Game three tomorrow afternoon, just after 4 o'clock at Wrigley Field. Brewers manager Pat Murphy asks if Quinn Priester will be on the mound.
Do you know what your plans are for game three starting pitcher?
Game three will be Priester.
NBA, the Bucks beat the Heat 103-93 in preseason play. The Packers held practice and wide receiver Christian Watson out there since that ACL injury last January. Does it feel good to be back?
100%. I got to knock a little bit of rust off. Obviously, it's been a while since I've been able to, you know, go out there and play football, but from just, you know, confidence and just running and everything, it felt really good.
That's Christian Watson with Sports on Mike Clemens.
Pat Kreitlow.
On Tuesday, we'll get an update on the shutdown showdown, a live report from Capitol Hill with Cam Stevenson, Washington reporter for Courier Newsroom.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9.
107.5 WLAK, Amory's real news and great conversation, and home for the Todd Allball Show, Monday through Friday from 2 to 4.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Borbens, heading into a stretch of some actual fall weather. A lot of sunshine for today, comfortable with highs in the mid-60s. Clear tonight and cold, lows in the lower 30s with some widespread frost developing late. On Wednesday, lots of sunshine again with a high of 63. Right now, it's 40 degrees.
As veterans, we're no strangers to helping others.
That's what we were taught, service before self.
But we do have one question for the veterans listening.
When is the last time you reached out for help?
If you or someone you know needs resources, whether it's for stress, finances, employment, or mental health, don't wait. Reach out.
Find more information at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach.
Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
This is Robert Pilot, host of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we talk about Native issues like treaties, protecting Mother Earth, and holding our elected officials accountable. You'll also hear from Turtle Island voices like Arvina Martin, State Representative Heather Keeler, Ruth Anna Buffalo, Dr. Anthony Stately, State Senator Mary Kunish, Robert Lilligren, and Bob Blake. Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
You're listening to the Midwest Farm Report on the Civic Media Radio Network. We now take you to a recent interview with State Senator Jody Hebbish-Sinkin on the Maggie Dawn Show.
I introduced the Knowles-Nelson Stewardship Reauthorization Bill, which we've been working on for months, building community with stakeholders, with organizations around the state, and other legislators across the aisle, because it is a program that is singularly popular in Wisconsin. It has a recent statewide poll has it as over 90% favorable, which in these days and times is, I can't think of anything that's comparable to that level of popularity. And unfortunately, it did not get funded in the budget that passed this early July. So it was something that we really wanted to make sure would move forward. And we introduced a bill because the Republican bill that was introduced, while in good faith, has a particular oversight mechanism which would make the program impractical and not be able to serve its function.
What's this obstacle that you spoke of, this oversight mechanism that you believe makes the Republican funding bill of the Knowles-Nelson program untenable?
Essentially, the Republican bill that was introduced, again, with good intention, because remember, not one single Republican voted to reauthorize the program during the budget process. So these two Republicans, Representative Kurtz and Senator Teston, introduced a bill to try to also save the program. But what it includes is an oversight mechanism, just a fancy word for how land acquisitions will be reviewed, that would be fundamentally impractical or not workable. It would require certain land acquisitions to go through the entirety of the legislative process, through the Assembly, through the Senate, all its committees and working groups, and ultimately the governor. Sometimes that could take up to a year and a half, 2 years, or get tied up and never happen.
Indefinitely.
That oversight mechanism is what we have worked on in our bill to replace with something that is transparent and accountable. It would be with a Knowles Nelson stewardship board that would include representatives from both parties, from both the Senate, the Assembly, the DNR, the Natural Resources, Conservation Organization, the tribes, just a wonderful mix of citizens. That is really what this type of oversight should be all about anyway. Something that's open, transparent, that the public can watch carefully.
To subscribe and find all of Civic Media's podcast library, head over to civicmedia.us/shows.
You're listening to Lake Air WLAK, Amory's home for Matt and Air on Air.
In FM 1670 AM, The Zone.
Boneheaded maneuver. That's what one state lawmaker is calling proposed fee hikes on livestock licenses they grant through the Wisconsin Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection. Boneheaded maneuver. Now, this is also frustrating to him because after a recent Supreme Court ruling, state legislators have literally no power to try to change it. I've got that story on the way for a Tuesday morning. Welcome back, everybody. I'm the fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke. This is the Midwest Farm Report on the 7th day of October. On this day back in 2001, the war in Afghanistan started. It was the U.S.'s retaliation after the September 11th terrorist attacks. They also called it the Global War on Terror. War in Afghanistan starts on this date back 2001. Happy birthdays for you this morning. Happy birthday to the ultimate critic, Simon Cowell. He is 66 today. And John, not Cougar, Mellencamp, he turned 74 years young. And now you know. Tuesday brings us our conversation with our friends from the Steffes Group. That's STEFFES group.com. Fantastic website if you want to do a little window shopping. Maybe you're sitting in line at the elevator or just kind of waiting for the next round from the combine. You can pull it up on your phone, on the app, or on the website, steffesgroup.com. You say now you want to talk to somebody. You've got a question about something you see, or you'd like to find out how the Steffes Group works. Well, they're happy to talk to you. 800-726-8609. That's 800-726-8609. I don't know if he's happy to talk with me or not. He's a busy guy. Ashley Hoon back along with us on a Tuesday from the Steffes Group. It is busy. I mean, the other thing I always love to point out is I have to try to catch Ashley. I never know if he's in the office, pickup truck going across some state, or you could be driving a combine or a grain cart yourself.
Yeah, you know, it's we get around all the time. The good thing is harvest is going real fast. People are finishing up beans already. This morning I left early and over by Elk Mound looking at some cranes. So, You know, you just never know what's going to be going on. We're trying doing a lot of appraisals in the next couple weeks because we know that our auctions are going to fire up in November, December, and we're going to be busy with that.
Yeah, you said 120 that you know of right now, and that can change even as we speak. Why is it such a frothy time of activity, Ashley? And for those that haven't been thinking about it, why might they want to start thinking about it?
You know, over the years, it's progressed to fourth quarter being one of the busiest times in the auction business. The 179 deduction, of course, and working with your depreciation, trying not to pay too much tax has played a major part in it. But, you know, you think of harvest equipment and when's the best time to sell. It's actually in that November, December timeframe because guys are getting right off a harvest, it's fresh in their mind. They're thinking about trading or updating, maybe buying a second combine based on what their conditions and things were this fall. But, you know, what happens is if you wait till next spring, well, then it's not on your mind anymore, and maybe you'll just get by with that same combine another year.
Yeah. Ashley Hewen along with us from the Steffes Group. If you haven't checked out their website, please do. Steffesgroup.com. That's STEFFES group.com. Now, remember, it's got everything you need to find there, upcoming auctions, individual pieces that you might be looking for. And remember the services that they provide, including finance. It can all be handled in one place. You want to talk to somebody? They'd love to talk to you. 800-726-8609. That's 800-726-8609. Ashley Hewen along with us from the Steffes Group.
We want the cream of the crop. We want the cream of the crop.
buzz on the field tonight. The dairy farming crowd is demanding Pioneer brand Plenish high oleic soybeans.
These fans know that growing Plenish high oleic soybeans for dairy rations can help farmers reduce ration costs while increasing milk fat content.
The cream of the crop rises to the top.
Plant the 100th season of Pioneer. Visit pioneer.com/feedplenish.
At Rural Mutual Insurance, we understand harvest season can bring long hours, tough decisions, and added stress. That's why this week on the Midwest Farm Report, we're shining a light on mental health in agriculture. Tune in each day or catch the Midwest Farm Report podcast to hear real stories from Wisconsin farmers and experts. And visit ruralmutual.com/farmsafety for resources to help you and your family stay safe and healthy this harvest season. Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
At Channel, we always show up for our farmers.
Is that tar spot or rust?
Incoming!
Definitely rust.
Rick, how did you...
Dropping in to check on your crop, Bill. Let's call your agronomist before that rust can hurt your yield.
That sounds great, but when did you learn to skydive?
Self-taught, Bill. Kind of a prodigy.
From personalized insights to year-round support, Channel Seed Pros always show up. Visit channel.com to learn more. Channel, all in, all season. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
Frustration is being expressed by some state lawmakers about proposed licensing fee hikes that the Wisconsin Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection will be asking of all of the livestock industry in Wisconsin. Some fees expected to go up as much as nearly 1,700%. And there's nothing that Wisconsin lawmakers can do about it. Wisconsin Senator Pat Teston from Stevens Point, who chairs the Senate Agriculture and Tourism Committee, says it's just a boneheaded maneuver.
There is virtually nothing I can do. And it is so frustrating. And I can only imagine for those individuals who work in this industry who are going to have their pocketbooks detrimentally impacted. I can't even imagine the frustration that they're feeling right now. And so we're trying to do what we can to raise awareness and encourage people to reach out to the department. And I'm hoping they reverse course because this is absolutely a boneheaded maneuver.
Wisconsin State Senator Pat Teston, the reason he says that his hands are tied as far as doing anything from a legislative perspective is a recent Supreme Court ruling essentially knocked down all of the legislative oversight they'd have on these kinds of actions. Remember, your voice counts, and that includes anybody in the livestock sector. You need to submit your comments to the Wisconsin Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection by October 15th. We've got all kinds of details and links available at MidwestFarmReport.com. You can also hear my entire conversation with Senator Pat Teston on our playlist. Yesterday in Chicago, barrel cheese was unchanged. 40-pound block cheese dropped 4 to 175. Double A butter down 5.5 at 169.5 per pound. This morning, the November Class 3 milk that goes into cheese is up 6 at 1697 a hundredweight. Currently, December new crop corn's unchanged at 422. November new crop soybeans are up a penny at 1019. July new crop wheat unchanged, 555 a bushel. Wisconsin farms face daily pressures, the weather, commodity prices, available labor, and trying to find someone that understands how you feel can be challenging. This morning on our Rural Mutual Mental Health Update, Kylie Allen joins us with some of those resources.
Her grandfather farmed and her father prioritized raising their own food. Now, Dr. Paula Hillman has used her experiences growing up in her work as a counseling psychologist for the Wisconsin Farm Center. I'm Kylie Allen for the Midwest Farm Report, today talking to Dr. Paula Hillman as she tells us why she's motivated by the work she does.
The reason I'm really interested in the wellness program, a sad story in my life, is that my grandfather, who was a farmer in the Hancock Plainfield area, lost his farm, and it had to be sold, and it was a bankruptcy, and it was a very sad situation for him. And this was in the 1940s, and he lost his farm, and tried to establish himself elsewhere, but really dealt with a lot of mental health problems, as it turns out. I never knew my grandfather. My grandfather died by suicide in 1945, and it was a very sad thing. But he died before I was born, and the stigma, it was such that It was hidden. His history was hidden. He was never talked about. If I asked questions, they were not answered, and I was told not to ask anymore. And then as a professional, at my stage in life, I really thought to do honor to my grandfather and to farmers who are going through situations related to mental health. It was just because I could bring my history of emotional pain, not knowing my grandfather, and wondering why this happened to what we're dealing with now.
Well, I think that's all too important to share. When you're talking to people in the farming community, what are some of those common things that they are struggling with when it comes to mental health?
Well, first, I think the biggest struggle is that they don't, we live in a culture where people don't want to talk about it. And I think developing trust in, first of all, when you're having a struggle, there's always some level of trauma that's involved. And what we know now about trauma, if trauma isn't treated, it becomes something that's known as PTSD, which is post-trauma stress disorder, and that's becoming much more recognized. But I think the biggest struggle for farmers is just talking, getting used to getting beyond the stigma that so many people face with mental health issues, getting beyond that, and then being assured that when you talk with a therapist, that what's said in the room stays in the room, that it's really, there is a way to heal, to recover, to find yourself again. And so that's a really important part of an initial step dealing with farmers.
If someone is going through a hard situation, what's your message to them?
I guess the message that I'm trying to send is that, yes, life is chaotic. Life is a tornado sometimes, but life in a tornado can be destructive. Lots of things can be destructive, but there are choices. And if you make choices on behalf of yourself, life can be in color and you can open up a new door to your life, and it can be more wonderful than the other one was. So, you know, it's just a lesson, and we have the capacity to change and make good choices and find the resources, and don't be afraid to ask for help.
Dr. Paula Hillman, counseling psychologist with the Wisconsin Farm Center, along with us. Here at the Midwest Farm Report, we know that mental health is important. That's why this week we're happy to work with our friends at Rural Mutual Insurance to have important conversations. At Rural Mutual Insurance, we're more than policies. We're your Wisconsin neighbors, here to protect what matters most. Together, we're keeping families, farms, and communities strong. Learn more at ruralmutual.com.
Thanks, Kylie. Coming up next, John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend.
Can't get enough farm news? The stories you hear and more, 24/7 at MidwestFarmReport.com. Stay tuned as we'll be right back.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government buy-in for the people. Two U.S. Supreme Court cases this term may allow the conservative majority to strike down Voting Rights Act protections of minority voters and one of the few remaining limits to big money campaign spending in federal elections. Louisiana versus Calais, a racial gerrymandering case, returns to the High Court October 15th for additional arguments after initial oral arguments March 24th. Louisiana's black voters won a second majority-minority congressional district under the Voting Rights Act, but a group of, quote, non-African-American individuals appealed the new map, claiming it was discriminatory to them under the Equal Protection Clause of the U.S. Constitution. Justices Alito, Gorsuch, and Thomas have railed against such minority protections in voting rights, education, and workplaces. Another case, National Republican Senatorial Committee versus Federal Election Commission, attempts to strike down campaign spending limits by party-affiliated groups as a violation of free speech. While national political parties can make unlimited donations to a federal candidate, they are limited in what's called coordinated spending with a candidate, which can include renting venues, sending mail, or most importantly, advertising. It could open another floodgate of money in our elections. The cases have far-reaching implications for equity in our elections process, and we'll be following both carefully in the coming months. I'm Brian Beal.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
State Senator Jeff Smith. We're talking about the Veteran Housing and Recovery Program. Republicans blocked funding for this.
They instead sent the governor a 16-page letter blaming him for this problem. Well, it was in his budget. Once the budget is out of his office and in their hands, it's up to them. Our job is to manage the funding. We can do it, but the governor can't. So it's avoiding our own responsibility by not addressing that.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Wisconsin farmers, how are they faring? The fabulous farm babe Pam Yonke will join us in hour number two. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11. Lake Air, 1260 AM, WLAK.
With USDA, most USDA reports basically closed off right now. It does weigh on the market. We don't have anything to really guide us at times. You know, a lot of times they always say a bull market or a market that wants to be bought needs information to keep it pushing. And we don't have that at this time frame. You know, we did get export inspections yesterday just because the FGIS, the group that takes care of the grain inspection service, you know, they still are running and keeping things moving, at least from the global transport standpoint, so they can report their numbers. But like I said, no crop progress last night. We don't get the daily announcements from the USDA in terms of anybody that does export sales. We'll get the weekly export sales numbers are not there. And then we're supposed to have a WASDE report on Friday, crop production in WASDE. And that's at this time frame has been canceled. So that the lack of information just kind of has the market trading a little blind at this time frame. And, you know, things are happening behind the scenes that we just may not know about.
Well, one thing that may be happening behind the scenes that we might find out more today is what the Trump administration is going to give to the U.S. farmers. Most of the money that we're hearing about is designed to offset China being missing in the marketplace. You think it's coming today, huh, John?
Well, the plan was at least Treasury Secretary Bessent announced last week that on Tuesday they would come out with more information to help the producers in that regard. Speculation right now thinks it's going to be another MFP-type program that we had during, you know, the last trade war. It's going to be probably directed heavier towards the soybean side of the equation in terms of just providing straight up aid based off of production. Those are, again, all the rumors that we're hearing out there. Now we'll see what they touch for both, you know, other grains as well. But the initial payments back when President Trump was in office during the first trade war was truly pretty much focused on soybeans. And then we think that's going to be where the impact's going to be the most. We'll see what those numbers say today. But, you know, right now, just it's with the media buzz, the push against the, you know, the tariffs and the trade war with China has really shifted its focus over the last couple of weeks here to the soybean market. Just feels like that's where the reaction is going to probably be to supplement producers of soybeans.
John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend, joining us live here on the Midwest Farm Report. I remind you of their website, totalfarmmarketing.com. If you want to talk to John about what's happening in D.C., import, or what's going on with numbers, 800-334-9779. That's 800-334-9779. You mentioned about how China's still missing in the marketplace, John. That has a ripple effect on our transportation arteries, too. What are you hearing or finding out about transportation tight spots or maybe ample transportation opportunities this fall?
You know, obviously with the lack of beans moving out of the Pacific Northwest, the northern tier farmers, North Dakota, South Dakota, northern Minnesota, they're getting smashed pretty hard in terms of what we call the basis that cost of transportation that the elevators charge. Some places up there don't even have bids or were well over a dollar a bushel. They're taking off the price on the board. That is what they would pay the farmers. You know, so that backs up the system. Those beans got to go somewhere. And it just has a trickle-down effect throughout the entire system in terms of where these beans are moving to and what's taking up what flow. Because right now, really, the only place beans are kind of moving is down through the Gulf and out that direction. So you're seeing that really reflected in the cash market price and making it a very difficult situation for producers on North. They just may not have an outlet for these beans to go to.
Yeah. Something that we're going to definitely have to watch. Anything else in particular, John, that you want to train producers' eyes on this week? Like we said, maybe details today on the direct federal assistance to offset soybean losses, but otherwise it's kind of a wait and see, isn't it?
It pretty much is, you know, and obviously let's see what the numbers are, when the payment's going to be coming to, and how do we put that into the marketing plan? And that's something producers need to make sure we figure out a strategy for, and we'll see what the numbers give us, whether we like the aid or not, it's coming. And like I said, just plan it into your marketing strategies and you know, look to use different tools around that, as well as what you're making decisions on the cash market.
All right. John Heinberg, market advisor, Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend, live with us here on the Midwest Farm Report. We'll catch you tomorrow morning.
This is the Midwest Farm.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Matt Nair on air.
Big Ten football returns to Madison this fall. The Wisconsin Badgers battle Iowa, Ohio State, Washington, and others to defend Camp Randall this season. From the grind of every snap to the roar of jump around, Badgers leave it all on the field. Be a part of all the tradition Wisconsin football has to offer. Single game tickets are available now at uwbadgers.com or by calling 1-800-GO-BADGERS. Together, we're Wisconsin like that.
If you think U.S. farmers are raking in massive government payouts, think again. That's next on Farm to Fork. 4 months ago, I began airing a message about the possibility that the dozen regional centers for agricultural safety and health were at risk of closing because of funding cuts. I've now learned that those funds will not be shut off and that the centers may continue operating. One center representative said, quote, "We are convinced that media visibility and support helped turn the tide." So, let's pick up where I left off with our 2025 Farm Safety and Health campaign. Farming can be a dirty job. Livestock and poultry confinement facilities are notorious for air quality. Masks or other breathing protection practices are a safety must to keep lungs free from dust, smoke, airborne chemicals, and other breathing hazards. Farm safety and health is everyone's business. This reminder is brought to you by Farm to Fork through the generous support of listeners like you across the country. Learn how you can help at NorthShoreProductions.com. The top economist at the U.S. Department of Agriculture would like you to know that farmers are not subsisting on government financial handouts. Seth Meyer.
Everybody thinks, well, we're lavishing all sorts of subsidies on agriculture in a farm bill. In real terms, it has been declining for the last 30 years. We're asking farmers to do more and more with less and less, and it's not working. So what's happening? One, the process is moving us to supplementals, and what does that result in? $130 billion in ad hoc assistance that has now gone on for 8 years. Not a good model.
Meyer says we were supposed to have a new farm bill 2 years ago, which led to temporary extensions of the previous bill from 2018. And he adds, everyone's pretty fed up with how that's gone.
To some degree, I'm excited that ag has said enough of that. We're going to use the pathways we can find to take care of folks, and it resulted in $60 billion additional dollars. And so for now, what's good for the goose is good for the gander, but heavens, I hope the country can find a way to figure out how to get back to some normalcy where we shine sunlight on everything on a regular process.
Meyer says traditionally, when commodity prices fell, input costs dropped as well. Lately, he says, input prices remain elevated as farm market prices fell. That's Farm to Fork. I'm Daryl Anderson.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, comedian Jim Flanagan joins to talk a Wisconsin date. Then a mystery guest drops by. Let's light it up Tuesday style.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Oh, this is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio.
On our show, we share stories from Turtle Island highlighting the people and issues shaping our communities. From protecting water to treaty rights and preserving languages and traditions, we cover it all. Hear voices like Arvina Martin of Emerge Wisconsin, Dr. Stately, Robert Lilligren, and more. Because Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
When it comes to vaping, the truth can get clouded. So let's make it clear. Vaping is not safe for youth.
Because vaping can put microscopic particles into your lungs.
And dangerous things like metals into your body.
And nicotine, which can harm a person's brain development through their mid-20s.
With appealing flavors, high nicotine levels, and lots of promotion on social media.
Many kids think vaping is harmless, but it's not.
So talk to your kids about the risks of vaping.
Because when you talk, they hear you.
Learn more at underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. As the world marks 2 years since the Hamas attacks of October 7th, indirect talks between Hamas and Israel have begun in Egypt on ending the war in Gaza. The government shutdown affecting millions of us, but mostly hurting federal workers who aren't getting paid, including those who scan luggage and direct planes and air traffic control towers, as the fight in Washington drags on.
The staffing shortage is triggering delays at major airports across the country, including Newark, Denver, and Phoenix. Smaller airports could also be affected. The Transportation Department says funds for the program that allows air carriers to service rural areas will expire next week.
ABC's Morgan Norwood. The Vatican has announced Pope Leo's first trip. He will travel to Turkey and Lebanon at the end of November. The Nobel Prize in Physics has been handed out to two researchers studying quantum mechanical tunneling. This is ABC News.
Catch Farm Report.